Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 17 through 24. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand if you're able. And Laura said you'd be hearing it again. Today's message is, I have victory in Jesus. And we do have victory. We have a reason to celebrate and worship. Luke 10, 17 through 24. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Then turning to his disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see the things you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word today. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes so we can see, open the eyes of our hearts so we can see, and open our ears so that we will hear, and not only hear, but that we will pay attention and that we will follow and do what you are commanding us, and that we will always give you the honor and the glory and the praise because we do have the victory in Jesus. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my own words or my flesh. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. It's important for us as believers in Jesus Christ to remember this, that real victory is found in Jesus. And victory is found in Jesus alone, nowhere else. Jesus has come to deliver us from evil by the power of His holy name. And Jesus made it clear to these 72, and it is still true to this day, that we have a lasting victory in Him. And the first thing that I want to look at today is that the victory is in Jesus. Now, let me paint the picture for you. Jesus sends out the 72 to go into what we would call the mission field to go work. They were on their way to minister and preach the word to the ones who were sick physically, spiritually, ones that didn't know Christ, and also the ones that were possessed with demons. Now, when Jesus sent them out, they were given power and authority by Jesus alone. When they went forward, these people knew, not in their minds, but these people knew in their hearts that they were going into what I'm going to tell you is pretty serious stuff. When Jesus is sending us out into the mission field, We have to know some things. We have to know that we have to be prayed up. We have to have faith, believing that God is going before us and that we are not going out into the mission field under our own power. We're not going under our own will or our own authority. There's a lot of people sometimes that when they go to do something for the Lord, sometimes the devil will come at you and the devil will say, "Hey, you got this. Now the Lord might have said something this way, but let me tell you a different one." And there are people who will turn away from what God has commanded them to do, and they'll go out to do something for the Lord, but they're doing it in their way and in their manner. And I guarantee you they're going to trip quickly and they're going to fall flat on their face. When these people went out to go witness and preach, they had to go in authority. And it's important to have that authority, because that authority is what brings people's hearts to Christ. It's nothing that you and I do. So when we go forward, we have to go boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many stories in the Bible that you have probably read about, or things that you have heard. And every single time, people looked to God and they obeyed Him. And what always followed? Victory. And that's why I titled this message, "We Have Victory in Jesus." Because as long as we keep Him first, as long as we follow Him and don't get ahead of Him, we will always have victory. Now things may take time. We were driving to church this morning. Well, we got off on the subject of taxes and things like that. I said, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "There may be things going on in this state that are unfair, but if we as Christian people, if we will grab a hold of the hem of Jesus, if we will pray, and if we will ask the Lord to start intervening within our state and within our government, and if we will pray believing that He can change the hearts and lives of what I'm going to call just politicians." I'm not going to say anything negative or rude or anything like that, because I'm not going to cast a first stone, because I know I'm not perfect either. But I can tell you this, we can make a difference when we pray and when we do things in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the 72 go out and they're operating under the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. They're seeing people coming to the Lord. They're seeing people being delivered from demon possession. They're seeing people sick being healed. And when they come back, they are overjoyed. And these people were so excited. And they were just happy. They were so joyful. Their hearts, I know, were bubbling over. And I guarantee you that they were telling everybody that they could find an ear that would listen. And they were telling of all the marvelous things that God had done. Now, I want to tell you this. What they were rejoicing in, they were actually kind of concentrating a little bit more on what was happening. And we need to be careful right here. Yes, We will do things by the authority and the power of Jesus, but we always have to be careful not to focus on what happened, but we should always keep our focus on the one who is doing the providing, the one who is doing the healing, the one who is doing the deliverance. Our eyes must always be on God and not on the situations around us. The name of Jesus is so powerful that at the name of Jesus, we are given life, we are given joy, and we are given such peace and hope. And I've got to experience this, and I want to share this quick little story with you. I was interim pastor over at Harrisburg, or over at the Galatia Church, as they were looking for a pastor. And one day I was in the church office, and somebody had given me a name of a woman in the hospital. And I wanted to point this out to you. She had Alzheimer's, so keep that at the forefront of your thoughts while I'm telling you this. She had Alzheimer's, and she was not a Christian. She was a very mean, hateful person. I mean hateful. And things that I'd heard about her, I was like, I didn't know if I wanted to really go or not, because I was thinking on my own terms, which got me into a bad position. But I sat in the church office that day, the pastor's office, going, all right, Lord, I'm going to go out today and I'm going to go see her. I was doing this under my time. I said, Lord, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go witness her. And the Lord said, no, you're not going out today. And I said, but why, Lord? I don't have nothing else going on. It's a perfect day for it. The Lord said, I don't want you going. And I mean, it's just spoken to me as clear as anybody else was sitting there speaking to me. And I said, all right, fine, I won't go today. The very next morning on a Tuesday, the Lord said, I want you to go to the hospital this morning. So I got in the church van. I drove over to Harrisburg Medical Center. I went into this woman's room. And when I walk in through the door, this is what I'm telling you about the devil always being there to trip you up. I walk in the door, and on the door it said, you must wear a gown and gloves and a mask. And the devil said, oh, she's got a bad disease. Don't go in there. And I'm not going to say what it was on the door, because that's private information. But anyway, I stood there and thought, well, I better not go in there. If she's got, you know, she's got this, I'm not going to step foot in there. And the whole time the devil's like, don't go in there. Don't even go talk to her. And then I thought, no, I'm going to do it. I gowned up, put the gloves, the mask, everything on, and I had protective eyewear. And I went into that room, and there she laid with her eyes closed, and the devil said, look, she's sleeping. Turn around, go out. Don't bother her. She needs her rest. And the Lord said, I told you what I want you to do. So I step into the room. I said her first name to her. And I waited, and her eyes opened, and I told her who I was and where I was from, and I asked if I could talk to her. And she said, now remember, I said she had Alzheimer's, and I prayed all the way to the hospital. I prayed, and I gave this situation to the Lord. And she said, yes, you can talk to me. I would love to talk to you. And we sat there and carried on a conversation like her mind was just completely in its right frame. And she told me things about her past, her life, and the situation she was in. And I could tell she was unsettled in her heart. And finally, I said to her, I said, you need to be saved. Would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now? And her daughter told me this. Her daughter said, now be careful. Said, when mom gets mad, she'll close her eyes, purse her lips together, and watch out, she'll throw something at you. Well, she laid there, she closed her eyes and pursed her lips, and on the side of her bed table was a bedpan. And I started watching that right arm. I thought, now she grabs a hold of that bedpan, I'm running out of here quicker than Joe Namath could go for a touchdown. And she laid there a minute like that, and then she opened her eyes back up and she said, yes, I do. I need Jesus. And I sat down on the edge of her bed. I wasn't afraid of what the paper on the door said, but I was wearing protective equipment. And I sat on the edge of her bed, and I took her by the hand, and I started to pray with her, and I said, now I want you to pray after me. And she prayed word for word. And when we got done praying, she had the biggest smile on her face. And I looked at her and I said, Helen, now you're going to heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And she just smiled and rejoiced. And when I walked out of her room that morning and was going back out to the church van, I am telling you, you could have heard the angels singing and rejoicing. And I called her daughter. I called Janine. Guess what? She got saved. She's going to heaven. And man, I was excited. But I had to keep my mind on the fact that this is something Jesus did, not Jim Cooper. Jesus did it. And she got saved. And the very next day, I told Janine, I'm going to go back and see her and see if I can take her a Bible. When I walked into her room the next day, she was completely out of her mind and didn't know who I was. That is the power of God. That is God's power at work. And that's why I'm telling you, at the name of Jesus, demons flee. Sicknesses are healed. Broken lives and hearts are mended. There is no other way to have victory but by Jesus Christ. And that day, Jesus gave a sweet victory. Every day, He gives a victory. Jesus is no stranger to having victory over Satan. Now, Jesus said that He watched Satan fall like lightning. And Isaiah 14, in there it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." Jesus has power over the devil. Don't let the devil get a hold of your mind and twist it with lies. Don't let the devil ever tell you that you're no good, that you're worthless, that Jesus didn't really do all this for you. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. If he is dumb enough to tell God, I'm going to exalt myself up above you one day so that everybody will praise me and get himself kicked out of heaven, if he is that dumb, then why would you want to listen to anything that he says? He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is a life destroyer. But Jesus said, I have come that you could have life and that you would have it how much? Abundantly. In abundance. However you want to say it. But Jesus said, I have come for you to have victory in your life. So He always has the victory. And the greatest victory happened when He came and was born of a virgin as a baby and died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins, bridging the gap between you and I and God. And when He rose on the third day from the tomb, and after 40 days ascended back into heaven, and the angels were telling the disciples, the same Jesus that you see going up, you will see Him coming again in like manner. And Jesus is coming, and it's time for you and I to get our hearts in order, and we should be prepared for that day, because we don't know the hour or the time or the day. But friends, I can tell you right now, it is closer to Jesus coming back, and He is going to have the trumpet sounded, and all of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be caught up to meet Him in the air. And if people have not been saved, and they will be left behind. It's in His Word, and they will be left behind. So I want to say this. If you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. It's time for other people to get Jesus in their heart and life and for them to sing, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever." Now, I want you to know that when you have Him in your heart and life, you will be a much different and changed person. But Satan fell like lightning, and if he fell like lightning, he's going to be cast into a lake of fire. At the end of everything, he will be judged, and every demon and false prophet and every follower of the devil will be cast into a permanent lake of fire. And I want to tell you this, if you die without Jesus right now, you've made the choice to join the smoking section. I made the choice to join the non-smoking section. I don't want nothing to do with a place that burns with fire and brimstone, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's total darkness. If you die without Jesus right now, you know what? I'm not saying this to be mean, but you will end up in hell for eternity. And I wish more people would listen to these messages that are being given out. I say this because I'm concerned about people's hearts and lives, and I want people to know Jesus because I love them with the same fervent love that the Lord has for them. Jesus reminds us that He is eternal, not the devil. The kingdom of hell is not the eternal reigning kingdom. God's kingdom is eternal. God's kingdom will go on forever. And when you and I get there and we are experiencing the joy of the Lord, I mean, can you imagine what it's going to be like to see the streets of gold, to see God the Father on His throne? I can't wait to lay down my cross and go kneel at the feet of Jesus and say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you did for me. Because without you, there would be nothing good for me." That's why it's so important at all times to always give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. He is the overcomer. He has given us the authority to go out in His name. And we have got to remember that when we are out doing the work of the Lord, we must say, "I am here in the name of the Lord." And we must confess that. We must believe it. And Jesus also said in the words, in his word there, what I read this morning, that we don't concentrate on what we've seen happen, but He said, "Be joyful that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that your name is written in heaven." That's what you should be excited about. Yeah, it's wonderful to see people get saved. It's wonderful to hear the praise reports, but don't get your mind stuck on that. Don't get your mind stuck on what God is doing in the church. It's great that people are joining. It's great we have baptisms, but that's not where it's at. It's all in Jesus, and we have to thank Him that He died for us and that our names appear in that Lamb's Book of Life. Imagine what it's going to be like when you stand before Him and the book is open, the book of life, and your name is read out, and the joy, and the Lord says, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Oh, what? Now that's going to be a time to really rejoice. I want to mention something about treading on serpents and scorpions. What the Lord was saying there, it's a representation of the evil forces. It's a representation of the evil forces that Satan and his demons are out trying to cause harm and afflict people with bad things. We have the power to tread over these demonic forces. You have the power. You have to believe it, though. Jesus has given us the same power and authority that the Father gave to Him. He's given unto us. I'm not knocking these churches, so I'm not judging nobody, but I'm telling you something. There's a lot of these churches that believe that's talk about handling rattlesnakes. Well, I don't agree with that. I think God gave you some good common sense to know that you know a rattlesnake or a copperhead is venomous, and you know that if it bites you and you don't get treated, guess what's going to happen? You're going to die from it. And I don't think that we should be trying to understand things with our own perception and our own understanding. So it ain't talking about going out and handling rattlesnakes. And I praise the Lord that we're not going to ever have that here. I went to a church. I was 20 years old, and I got called to go to a little church to fill in for a while. And it was way out in the middle of nowhere. I ain't going to say the name of the church, and I ain't going to say where it's at. But as I drove up and looked at this little church house, I'd heard Wendy Bagwell tell that story about the rattlesnakes. And as I got closer to that church, I thought, man, that looks like a snake handling church. And it's out here in the middle of nowhere, and they had a big cemetery all around it. And I went in there, and I had it in my mind that this was a snake handling church. I did. I let the devil plant that fear. And I got in there, and I was looking around to see if there was wooden boxes somewhere with cloths over them. And I got in there and started meeting people, and people was more friendly than I'd ever seen before in a church. And that really got my suspicion. So I really let the devil ramp up, and I noticed a door. They had the preacher's chair up there, and there was a little walkway, and there was a door with a lock on it. And the window was covered up with a big piece of white film, and you couldn't see through it. Well, they got to singing, and them folks got over happy. They got more happy than I'd ever seen in a church. And they was really getting wound up and excited, and I thought, I knew it. This is one of them happy snake handling churches. And during the song service, a woman and two men got up and they went and they walked down and they got keys out and they unlocked that door. And I thought, here it is. They're going after the rattlesnakes. And I had my Bible in my hand. I was sitting in that preacher's chair. And they opened that door and they went through it. And I done had it settled in my mind. Here come the snakes. And I got out up off that chair. You'd be surprised at how fast you can move when you're under suspicion. But I walked out of that preacher's chair with my hind end quicker than and I got out to the edge of that pulpit to the platform about here. And they opened up that door and I about shouted and I about jumped down and I was going to take off, go down the middle aisle. And I was going to go out that door and get my car. That's how scared I was. Now, I was 20 years old, young in the ministry, and still dumb. I'm still dumb today, but I'm learning. But I thought, you know what? I better turn and look behind me. And they come back out through that door, and they was carrying the offering plates. And I went, whew, wow. Well, after service was over, I was kind of sharing with a couple of them a little bit what I was thinking, and they got tickled, and they said, Brother Jim, we wait till we get to know you a little bit better before we bring out the rattlesnake, so it's all right. Oh. But lastly, we have to rejoice in the victory that Jesus gives to believers. We have to know that Jesus is the one who can redirect our thoughts and our focus. We're not to focus on the negative of life, but what we're supposed to focus on is what we can do through Christ Jesus, the difference you and I can make. Look at what Bosque Dill has done for years and the lives that are touched. When we send out the Christmas boxes, I wish we could be there to see each child that opens up a box. I tell you what, we'd need a truckload of Kleenex because of the happy tears that would be shed to see the sheer joy and happiness that these kids have to receive a gift from all these churches around here. And man, I tell you what, this year I want to be more dedicated in serving and helping pack them and get them ready. But if we know that what we do is for the Lord, I'm telling you that God can do anything. And we must continue to press forward as a church. Bosque Dill Baptist Church needs to continue to grow. We need to continue to have baptisms. We need to get back to having Sunday school. We need to get back to having Vacation Bible School. We need to get back to having ministries. We need to get back, but we can't focus as that as our primary goal. We have to always focus on the Lord and do things in His timing.